Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio is 503-733-2970. If you want to email, you can do that as well. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here. We will be doing the David Ellis interview, the director of Snakes on a Plane. That was originally going to be right here, but I think it's going to happen in a little later on this hour. We got to talk about Storm coming up tonight. I had this long talk with Davey, and I could tell last night that he was wanting to tell me the whole deal, because he went down for the taping. He went down for the taping, and of course, and he just can't, you know, that's a guy who's on that message board all the time, looking at every spoiler, every detail, every little bit of information that leaks on out, and all I know about Rockstar Supernova is what Storm told us yesterday when she was on the show, which is unnerving enough as it is.
So, I looked online, and that's even more unnerving.
Now, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't want to know, do I? See, here's
you don't want to know.
Because I'm torn between wanting to know and just get it over with, or not wanting to know. But see, if I don't know, then I won't have to, like, you know, dread it. But on the other hand, now it's just like let me ask you this. When does she perform, relatively speaking? Do we know? Like, is it early, late, middle?
I don't know that.
All right. So that's the only thing that I ever try to know every
week. I know what she performs and all of the judges' reactions.
Well, I mean, I know the judges' reaction based on yesterday, but she said that they all just smacked her around. So, which seems so unlikely. It's like, what could Storm, and I'm just asking this rhetorically.
Dude, I watched the reality show yesterday. She got stuck with a crappy song, and she has to, you know, kind of rework it.
Right.
And make it her own. And it wasn't working yesterday.
Oh, she does like a drastic reimagining of the song. See, she doesn't, the problem with Storm is that she is too nice. She doesn't fight hard enough for some of that stuff, I think. It's like Pinball Wizard is a perfect example of that, where Pinball Wizard, it is a great performance, not necessarily a song. Like that first week when she sang Pinball Wizard, I remember thinking her performance was great, but that it's just such a lackluster song in so many ways. Like, why would you ever pick that song to show off your singing ability? I don't think that Storm fights hard enough to songs that work with her.
She does not. I was watching the reality episode yesterday, and everyone is starting to get really bitchy, especially Delana.
Yeah.
Delana's just doesn't give a crap about anybody. She's like, I want to sing that song. That's my song. You know, you guys just all should just go home right now.
I
totally smack talking.
Yeah. See, the whole thing just makes me angry. That's why I don't watch those webisodes.
No, in the reality show as well, she comes up to Tommy Lee when they're all partying in Las Vegas. She's like, you can send all the rest of these blanks home.
Delana says that?
Yeah, she comes up to Tommy Lee and says that. She's like, you can send all the rest of these blankers.
I thought she was Little Miss Nice. I thought she was all about feeling the love in the room.
Nope. Now it's just feeling her own love.
All right. Let me find an appropriate soundbite here. We're gonna move a few things around here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, this will do. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio program.
All right. I'm all nervous, but here's my rap. Ahem. All right, you're going to have a good, good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking at country club, things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't going to be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl, Austin Cavanaugh. Come on, give us a weather boy. Give it to us. Word.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way. That is something.
Uba Shabayat.
All right, Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune joining us now. How are you, sir?
Dennis Bonaducci is actually better.
Dennis Bonaducci. I don't think I have any of the Danny Bonaducci cuts, which is too bad. I should have saved them from last week.
I've been drinking for days.
It's fantastic.
Rehab is for quitters. Does anyone have any cocaine? I've got a radio show to do.
We used to have the I Can't Drive 55, which I think was lost in the great off-turning of this radio program. So I never brought it back. So we just now got Scott Daly's theme back. So at some point we'll find something to bring you on with. How's life in your world?
Life is good. I think that the build up to Snakes on a Plane week has got me
it's fantastic.
Tingling all over. I think that our idea over the weekend was best. Our much thought about and kind of accumulated ideas between you, me, and Scott Daly about it would be the second.
I don't remember any of this.
It was sugar gliders on a train. That was going to be our.
Oh, okay. I don't remember coming up with that at all.
Scott and I thought it was a good idea. Maybe you're just shaking your head and not listening to us.
Maybe. We were all at the... I was probably seething over my crushing loss. And we were all at Dennis's house. We played poker at Dennis's house this week. And here's the thing about Jeff Klein, who we have talked about many times on this program. Now, some of you... Jeff Klein has sort of become... I don't want to say he's the Kaiser Soze, but Jeff Klein has become this guy that we talk about a lot that probably most of the listeners haven't met. He's come to a lot of our listener parties, and if you play poker around town, you may have played it again. I have no idea how to describe him. Somebody asked me one time what celebrity Jeff Klein most closely resembled, and I really just had nothing. I couldn't really think of anybody that he looks like. We always refer to him as looking like a Ken doll, but that's not really accurate.
He kind of looks like a Ken doll.
In the strictest sense of the word. He looks like a Ken doll only if you've never met Ken Boson, who we used to work with at KWJJ, who really was like, Ken Boson was really, it was literally like he walked off the shelf at Toys R Us and just, you know, hello, I am perfect. Every hair is in place.
I have no idea who the old time character was from the movies, but Jeff Klein, for some reason, I always think of that character, and I remember him from the Flintstones, the guy that, hello! I mean, am I,
Doubtfire?
No.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Depends on his attitude or what he's wearing.
Wait. Are you talking about that?
Yes,
that
exactly,
guy.
Yes.
That Tim would know who that is, but I don't. Anyway, but you know the celebrity poker challenge. There's the loser's lounge where you get kicked off. You know, you lose. You have to walk past Dave Foley, and Dave Foley's there to make fun of you, and then you go back and you drink. Whenever we're playing at your house, your equivalent of the loser's lounge is when you bust out of the table and you have to walk by Jeff Klein, who, as you are walking by on the way into the house to look for alcohol or drugs or just a couch to lay down, that Jeff Klein is, why did you do that? You only had a 17% chance of victory.
Yes.
It's one of those guys, brain like an abacus, and will just spit out all the poker facts as you are walking by the table, having just lost all your money. He has to then taunt you about why you chose poorly. In this case, me going in on it, there was a flush draw against Ian, and then I just got beaten like the family mule. It was no good. It was all kinds of bad. That came on the heels of the evening's most awkward moment, by the way, which was with your wife or girlfriend. What, are you guys married?
Hello?
Oh, that's right. You did get married. All right. Well, no, I was getting that and Brad and then another friend of mine all kind of mixed together. Because you guys were just...
Yeah, because we were invited to Brad's wedding.
My wedding was in my home and my first anniversary is...
I don't really remember when you got married, though. I'm sort of bluffing like I do, but I don't really remember when that happened.
It was during the unpleasantness, wasn't it?
It was during
the... I see. 10, no 20... radio show, no invitation.
Yeah.
I see. 10, 20, I don't recall... Was I invited?
Nobody got invited. It was just family. It was very quiet and
if it was just family...
All right. So it wasn't family. Like family and
if
Brad.
You would like to marry into my family, you'll be invited, you know, to some more events if you'd like.
I think I'm already promised to Jeff, but that's okay. Anyway, so
I love watching the uncomfortable banter between you guys at Dante's.
Oh God! And of course, his girlfriend is there on Saturday.
And his girlfriend's beautiful.
His girlfriend Amy. So we're all at Dennis's house playing poker, and it's me and Scott Daly and Ian Gordon and Matt Peterson and just Brad and Jeff, and then Jeff's girlfriend, who's just plowed by the end of the night, just completely
as well
plastered.
As my wife was.
Well, she has to deal with the fact that her boyfriend's gay every day.
She starts to whore him out as the night goes on. Like, if you sleep with my boyfriend.
And then here's the other thing is by the end of the night, like, because I was playing in a sort of loser cash game inside or the second tournament inside. And by the end of it, it's, I don't know, probably midnight, 1 a.m. And there's, I don't know, probably 10 people left. And you guys all decide that you're going to go to 205, which is a strip club, right?
Yeah.
205. And so then.
Whoa. They all decided, and I just thought that the best idea would be
to twist your arm
to be within 5 feet of my then.
Because your wife was going to the strip club and you don't want her to go without you.
I did not want to be there. Without her.
Right. And so then, but then there's the weirdness where Jeff is trying to get me to go to the strip club. And there's something bizarre about another man whose girlfriend is right there trying to get you to accompany him to a strip club late at night. It's all very strange. What was my point here? Oh, but so the most awkward moment of the night was this. The most awkward moment of the night was Brandy, Dennis's wife, is there wearing a new, because Storm is, they've developed these t-shirts they're selling on stormlarge.com. And it's a great shirt. It's the silhouette of Storm with her hand out, and she's literally holding the audience in her hand. Like holding the audience in the palm of her hand. It's a great picture. It's a silhouette of her holding the audience in her hand. It's a storm in the balls at the bottom. And they just started selling the shirt, right? Okay. So Dennis's wife is wearing one of these shirts. Now Dennis's wife recently spawned. They have a child. And she's in the, how do I put this? She's in the phase where she is she still providing nutrients and sustenance to the child?
No, that's the way they always are.
Really? Yeah, they look larger than normal. Is that where the Lord giveth and he just never took it away?
The Lord giveth and
they just kept on giving. All right, so so Dennis's wife is a...
she's busty.
She's a... she's chesty, as Will the engineer would say. She's a well-endowed girl. Very attractive girl with very amply proportioned, let's say. So Brandy is there wearing this Storm Large shirt, which is just, like, unbelievably tight. And so I, of course, am doing, you know, you're being the guy. You're being the friend of the guy with the girl where you don't want to stare. You know what I mean? You don't stare at your guy, you know, your buddy's girlfriend. You just don't do that. And so I'm averting my eyes. Brandy comes up and talks to me, and it's like, all of my energy is just like the laser focus looking her in the eye. All, like, 98% of my system resources are directed towards not staring at her breasts, which are behind this incredibly tight t-shirt, right? So this is me for, like, the first half where I'm there trying to look your wife in the eye. Dennis comes up, and apparently referring to the t-shirt, which is now for sale on Storm Large, Dennis comes up and says, points at his wife's, presumably the shirt, but points at the breasts and says, "Hey, Rick, have you seen these? Aren't these great?" Like, and I guess you were talking about the shirt, but it's like literally like pointing at your wife's bosoms. "These are fantastic. What do you think of these? They're brand new. Aren't they beautiful? Everybody should have these."
Instantly, you became quite uncomfortable.
And, because
looking at the ground for some reason.
Because I thought you were showing off her new womanly curves. I thought that was where the milk fairy came and just sort of left those behind under her pillow when she attached them. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know. I actually, as funny as that was...
It was very awkward.
As funny as that was, you have to admit the best part of that entire night was all you need is a fat guy in a broken chair.
Oh, man. Ian Gordon, and I've got a photograph of it too. Ian Gordon is a former weapon master. A large man and a plastic lawn chair, and then after a while you stand back and you let gravity do the rest. So Ian is just sitting at the card table playing away.
After he's taken a couple of people out, being a little full of himself.
And if you notice this, because this is now the second time in my life I've been there where a big man breaks a plastic chair just with his own girth, with his own weight. Rob White did this at one point. Rob White, you may remember Rob White. We've had him on the show before. He was a salesperson for our station back at Entercom. We called him Great White. Rob's a big man. There's a lot of Rob to go around. And we were at a listener party at, was it Cinco de Drinco? We were at a listener party at the hot seat. We were at the hot seat, summertime patio, and it's like Rob is sitting there in a plastic chair, and he's a very large man, and you would think that maybe in the past he'd had enough experience to know that maybe that wasn't going to work out very well. And so Rob is sitting there in a plastic chair. All my back is to him, but it's funny how even if it's nothing you've ever heard before, you can identify the sound. You know what I mean? And so we hear this, wham! And somehow, without even looking, I knew it was a big man having broken a plastic chair. Turn around, there's Rob White, chair legs splayed in all directions like daisy petals. And he's just sitting there, it's like, what can you possibly say? What comment can he make at that point to sort of regain his composure and his manhood? There's nothing. Same thing happened with Ian.
You know that happened later in the night. Brad actually did the same thing.
Oh, God,
leaned back
fantastic.
In a plastic chair.
All right. This is Jim Roop, sir. We should probably go to this because apparently he's on a tight schedule. So we'll talk to Jim Roop. I haven't even talked to you about my truck yet. Stolen again.
You know what? I got to run out the door. I'll probably just have to hand over the door to, or hand over the reins to Jim Roop.
All right. Let's do this. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show live from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
Woo-hoo! I'm fine. How are you?
you sound dandy, sir.
Well, I'm loving the conversation.
I'm sorry. That's my fault. I actually did not see that you were on hold.
No, no,
I was busy.
Man, trust me, I was digging the conversation.
Can you? But I mean, there's a telltale sound that it's like snakes on a plane, guy in a chair.
Yep.
There is a telltale noise, and the funny thing is, even if you've never heard the noise, you know it when you hear it.
Sure.
And we hear this. You know, we turn around. There's a big man on the ground, chair legs broken in all directions.
You need to get that from your phone on your website.
Oh, and, yeah, and the best part is immediately, like, five cell phones, sort of bionic man, like, the cell phones all come out in slow motion, and then suddenly there's like 50 photographs of this guy on the ground, just all splayed out. It's fantastic. It really is. It was exactly the pick-me-up I needed, because it had been a long day because my truck had been stolen the night before.
Oh, that's a shame, man.
Second time. Truck's been stolen twice. This is the second time that the truck has been stolen.
Time to sell.
That's why I drive a lousy car.
Dude, well, not only that, how about this? You know this, because I know this is not technically what we're talking to you about, but so my truck gets stolen on Friday, and then Saturday I'm out, because we have two vehicles, a truck and a car, and the truck is very old. Truck's like an 88. But it's been stolen the second time. We call up the police report. We're like, yeah, it's us. It's the same information as last time. It's all you remember me from last year. They put in the theft report about the truck, and then I'm driving the car the next day, and I park the car, and I get out of the car, and I was doing a little film shoot with some friends of mine. I get out of the car, and I walk around, and I look, and Dennis, you can tell me about this, but my car is very new. It's a 2004. It's essentially a brand-new car. I walk around to the passenger side to get something, to get an article of clothing, a costume that was hanging in there I was going to be wearing for the film, and my gas my gas panel, you know, whatever, the door, the little gas door, is open, and the gas, the cap. My gas cap is open and just hanging there by the little plastic thing. Is it possible? Do people still siphon gas?
Oh, absolutely. And when it's $3.25 a gallon, I'd be real careful about leaving your car somewhere for a little while, because it'll end up having
out here.
I didn't think that was possible anymore. I thought cars, they had developed some sort of technology that you could no longer just stick a hose in and be stealing a guy's gas.
Well, there's a lot of cars where people go get their gas, and they don't close those doors all the way. And all you got to do is take a screwdriver and pry. I shouldn't say this.
No, go ahead.
There's a way to get into it.
No, just share the details with our audience. They're an upstanding group of people.
I don't suggest you try this at home.
No, of course not. But if they were,
there is a way to pry that open if it isn't shut all the way, and that happens a lot. Where people will put that cap on, they'll screw it on, and they'll just slap that door, thinking just because it moved, it's going to slam shut. And it has to catch. And if they don't shove it on a little bit, it's not going to catch. It's just a simple screwdriver or a pocket knife or something can pry that right up.
Now, see, I thought, though, that the cars, I guess I was just foolishly assuming, that cars were now designed in such a way that even if you were able to get the gas cap off, I don't know that there was some...
Nope.
Something down inside that you couldn't just slide a hose down.
Oh, man, you could. If you could stick a nozzle from a gas tank, gas pump in there. Plus, I drove one of my trips to San Diego for the border thing. I drove one of those new Buick Lucernes.
Right.
And all you have to do is push on that little door, and it opens up. There's no latch on the inside.
Great.
So they're making it easier for people to siphon gas.
So my truck is stolen. People are stealing my gas. Did I tell you that I found out 2 days ago that my neighbors have been stealing my toilet paper?
What?
It's true. It's completely true.
How?
My neighbors have been... There's been a long saga of Rick Emerson's neighbors. I live in a building that is not a duplex, but that from the outside could be mistaken for a duplex. It is two houses that... Two separate freestanding houses...
That share a roof.
They don't... Okay, they do share a roof. It's two separate houses, and then they've built a roof over both of them that sort of connects them. So between the two houses, there's a little sort of space. There's like a storage, like an alley, sort of, or like a little, like a storage.
Sort of like Mission Impossible. The guy's got the little rope, and he's coming over and dipping in.
There's a storage corridor between the two houses that has a door and a roof over it. So imagine like two houses joined by a little shed. That's basically what it is. Now, that little common area out there, my wife will buy things in bulk, toilet paper, paper towels, dog food, all that stuff. And of course, it's like, you can't keep 48 rolls of toilet paper in your bathroom. People think you got
the problem,
plumbing issues. So people think you just can't stop
like you have anybody over at your house anyway.
Well, no, I'm just saying,
you buy that much toilet paper, you might as well invest in a cork.
Yeah. Seriously. So we will keep all of the toilet paper in this little hallway storage area that is between the two houses. And my wife makes the observation to me the other day. She's like, you know what? I buy that toilet paper like 48 rolls at a time. She's like, I just bought some last week and we're already down to three. Like, is there something you're... Are you having some sort of problem you're not telling me about? And I'm like, I was just going to ask you the same thing. And so then, like, 2 days after that, my landlord evicts the people next door because apparently they were subletting their apartment. They had, like, five other guys living with them. All kinds of, like, bizarre, acrid smoke pouring out of the house all day and night, no reason. All of this. He kicks them out. They flee in the dead of night. They leave their sofa and a burned-out refrigerator on the front lawn when they go. He's in there cleaning the apartment out this weekend, or the house next door out this weekend, takes out three truckloads of trash. He comes over and he's like, it's the damnedest thing. I found one room that was just full of rolls of toilet paper. Stealing my goddamn toilet paper. It is not a world of men.
Were you able to claim any of that?
No. Like, I'm going to take that back. God only knows what they've been doing with it. So there you go. That's my life. Truck stolen, gas siphoned, toilet paper used by the people next door.
You know, it can all be connected.
It is. It's connected by the fact that I live in a terrible, terrible, terrible neighborhood filled with methamphetamine-using white trash. That's it, brother. I chose poorly. So there you go. So feel better about your life. Have I cheered you up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
I don't even know what we're calling you about, but it doesn't matter because I know you got to go. So I will simply say that whenever you feel down, whenever you feel low, whenever you feel like things in your life, Jim Roop, could be going a little bit better, I want you to think about Rick Emerson in Portland, Oregon.
I just log on to rickemerson.com.
Who has 50% of his vehicles have been stolen, 30% of his gas has been siphoned, and he has nothing to use when he goes to the bathroom because the toilet paper has all been stolen by the methamphetamine cookers next door. This could be your life, Jim Roof. Thank you. I'm glad I could help.
Thank you,
right,
sir.
You enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
All right,
there you go. Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
Dennis Pitchenbogger, Portland Tribune, parting thoughts before you go?
Not really. There's a little tiny icon on the Rick Emerson website that says Fuel. Check it out if you want. We got stuff on there that...
you got a TV show coming.
Got a TV show coming, 24th of September on Portland's CW. And that's about it, really.
Are we going to see you with snakes on a plane?
No. I got to do filming.
Are we going to see you at Dante's tonight?
No.
What is your... Donde está el amor?
I don't... No.
Whatever. Where is the love?
Oh, yeah. You know you get all the love. I talk about you constantly. In fact, by the way, I want to make a small comment. Mm-hmm. Luke... Is it Luke in Australia?
Sure.
Wrote me an email that was nice enough to say, you know what? Last week I was here, and people were like, well, you're just a bad ripoff of Rick Emerson. Tell me something I don't know. And, you know, it was nice that he actually took the time, and he said, you know, I finally got a reason to email you, because he actually enjoyed our friendly banter.
No, so I find your banter both amusing and relatable.
Thank you.
Okay. And you can read Dennis in the Portland Tribune. Comes out every Thursday?
Every Friday. And this week, it's okay.
Why do I never get that right?
When I was at Willamette Week, you said every Tuesday.
I never know when anything comes out.
It's a printed thing, and it's the only one that doesn't come out every day.
Okay.
Friday. And I actually have a story about the Cadillac Escalade, which was a interesting vehicle to take out on the sand because I was driving a giant station wagon past people with big 4x4s waving at them as I drove up the sand.
I bet that thing has some sort of a siphoning repellent.
No, all you got to do is just, I'll show you. You know what? I'll
just stop this detailed instructions.
I'll stop this conversation now. And sometime when we're off the air, I'll show you how to siphon gas from your neighbors.
It's all sort of a circle of life kind of a thing. I knew it was Saturday this weekend. I knew it was Saturday because I woke up because the landlord and his henchmen were out there painting over the gang tagging on the side of my garage. That's sort of their every weekend project at my house.
You just have to carry a handgun. That's what I do. I show it to all the people in the neighborhood every once in a while, and then they leave me alone.
All right. Dennis Pitchenbogger, ladies and gentlemen. We got a break. Back after this with Tim Riley. And his Ministry of Truth. We'll talk about Storm Large. We've got some people who know some stuff about that. David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane, will be coming up. Donna Mike will give inspirational words to the AM 970 sales staff. And we'll have the Week and Geek. Here's the Four Horsemen. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. And
so forth.
Coming up, we got an interview with David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane and whatnot. Rick, I find it intriguing that you thought cars could somehow contain an anti-siphoning device of some sort. A siphon works basically because of gravity and air pressure, so I'm curious as to how a gas tank, in your mind that is, could somehow scramble the laws of physics. It all seems so reasonable. I'm just saying it seems like a thing we ought to have at this point. Because, Tim, am I right about this? Does gas siphoning seem like a thing that's very 70s to you?
It does.
Especially because it involves some nitwit sitting there and getting a mouthful of gasoline. Mm-hmm. That's always it, because that's the thing. If you guys have seen anybody siphon gas, you gotta have a bucket down on the ground. Mm-hmm. Sir, have you ever seen anybody siphon gas?
No.
You seem like you run with the kind of friends who might have to do that every now and again.
It looks like something Dukes of Hazzard would do.
It's totally trashy, because the deal is you run a hose into the gas tank. The hose comes out. And the thing you're siphoning it into has to be below the gas tank. So the gas tank has to be here, and then the other thing has been in here. And so then you kneel, it's so horrible, you kneel down and you just go, and you suck on the hose until you get a mouthful of gas, which you then spit out, and then gravity does the rest, and it's a continual flow at that point, provided that the receptacle is lower to the ground than the gas tank. It's the trashiest thing ever. And I remember my dad having to do it, not like from other people, but we're such hicks that like my dad would need to mow the lawn, and we didn't have enough gas for the lawnmower. And so my dad would be out siphoning gas from one of the cars in our driveway to put into the lawnmower, because we were cultural sophisticates. All right. So here's what's coming up. We'll do we'll talk to David Ellis, who's the director of Snakes on a Plane. We got the top five coming up, and we have a little gift to us from Don and Mike, a little gift to the AM970 sales department and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
From high top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. Happy birthday to Bill Clinton. He's going to be, hard to believe, 60 years old. He says he hates it already. For most of my working life, I was the youngest person doing what I was doing. Then one day I woke up and I was the oldest person in every room. Clinton was a youthful 44 when he was first elected president back in 1992. He was the youngest U.S. president to leave office, although not the youngest to enter it. That distinction belongs to JFK.
Sarah Dillon, you have the chance to sleep with Bill Clinton. Do you do it? Go.
Yes.
Really?
Sure.
Fantastic. That's what I thought. All right.
Investigators say a 35-year-old South Carolina man killed himself 2 days after being convicted of committing a lewd act on a minor. Apparently, the coroner said this fellow named Melton suffocated himself by stuffing toilet paper in his mouth and nostrils.
That's a bad way to go.
It is.
I mean, it sounds like it happened to the right guy and all, but that's an unpleasant way to kill oneself. Did you just not have a razor blade around or whatever? I mean, is that the...
Yeah, they don't give you them.
All right, well, there you go.
This comes to us from Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Seven people were killed when an effort to excavate a toilet went badly wrong. Apparently, it occurred when a father and son were digging an overflow pit for an existing outdoor toilet. As they were digging the pit, the sides of the original toilet collapsed, and its contents engulfed the two men.
Oh, its contents. There you go. There's the news euphemism.
Five neighbors then rushed to the men's aid, lowered themselves into the pit, but succumbed to the poisoning.
Oh, that's fantastic.
In the waste.
Everyone, into the feces. That's exactly what that is, right? That's what we're talking about here.
Yes, yes.
It's a father and son falling into a... It's like the yelled fire when I fell into the chocolate.
Yep.
They jumped into a pit of raw sewage. And then, see, that's the good news, bad news. The good news, it makes you feel a little bit... You know, you kind of believe in the goodness of human nature, that your friends... I can't think of anyone that I would be willing to jump into a pit of raw sewage for. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I suppose my wife, if I absolutely had to, but... I think I might look around for a branch or something for a while first. I mean, it really is hard to imagine anybody I know falling into a pit of raw human fecal matter and me deciding that they were really worth it. I mean, you've got other friends. But that five people jumped into that.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And we've got all of these gas siphoning stories, unsurprisingly, that we will get to. This email says, Rick, my uncle tried to siphon gas when he was drunk. He swallowed a mouthful of gasoline and was blind for several days. There you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
Fantastic. Here's your Darwin Watch on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Bad stuff is about to go down.
Yeah.
Don't. I ate all my caps.
Don't.
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't.
Another one busts us.
Don't.
My heart just stopped.
That's true.
No one's... Ah, there it goes.
It's a terrible thing to say.
Oh, so true.
Anyway,
what are you eating?
A cookie.
A cookie.
Okay.
You want to get married?
All right, Tim Riley.
Want to meet my mama? Alcohol was definitely a factor in a freight train accident. They killed a Springfield man. Floyd F. Dodd, who's 35, lives in the 800 block of South 2nd Street, wherever this town is.
Floyd F. Dead?
Suffered critical head injuries and was taken to the Memorial Medical Center, pronounced dead at the scene. He is the fourth resident to be struck by a train this month and also was hit by a train in 1999. Railroad workers said it appeared that Dodd...
Who was hit by a train in 1999?
The same fellow.
How many times...
Floyd Dodd.
How many chances do you get, really, before God... Well, I guess two is the answer.
Mm-hmm. The railroad workers said it appeared that Dodd had had his head on the rail, using it as a pillow. Oh. He was on the south side of the tracks, just west of Milton Street, which is blocked off by a former railroad crossing. A can of beer, a pack of cigarettes, and a bicycle were found nearby.
Fantastic.
It was not clear whether Dodd made any effort to get out of the way before the train struck him. He had elevated blood alcohol level.
No.
How could they tell after this happened?
I can't imagine.
Meanwhile, in November 1999, Don fell asleep on railroad tracks. Just in the same area, police said he was sleeping with his legs across the tracks when the train pushed into the side when it hit him on.
Well, sometimes it helps to have your legs
he
elevated.
He suffered a compound fracture to one leg and a cut to the other.
That's amazing that the first time he got hit,
yeah.
He only got away with a fracture.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it just pinches your legs off like it was cooked sausage.
Yep.
Yeah, that's no good.
No.
All right, there you go. There's your Darwin watch. Fantastic. Right there in the Rick Emerson show.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Let's see. Let's get a couple of these stories. Hello, Darren. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Yeah, I'm a delivery driver, and I have a 30-gallon gas tank, so I'm a target for gas thieves.
Yes.
What happened to me was they climbed underneath my rig, cut the hose between where the gas nozzle fills in and the gas tank,
right.
Siphoned it out that way. You don't even get a mouth of gas, and you get all the gas out of the whole tank.
Sons of bitches. Sons of bitches. No, really, that's a terrible thing to do to a man. Steal a man's gas.
Then you go pull into the gas station, and you put in to refill. Gas all over the ground.
Oh,
you don't even know that it's been done.
I never even thought about that. Yeah, it completely just goes right onto the ground.
Yep.
All right, Scotty is demanding that I play... Hold on. Scotty's demanding that I play this.
Today we salute you, Mr. In-the-Car Nose Picker.
Go on, crew. Go on, mama, like an S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U. Go on, me.
Really is the worst sounder ever created.
Oh, it's great. Booba Shabaya.
All right, there you go. All right, sir. Darren, thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Dennis, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, what? I work at a wrecking yard / car lot, and we have the same thing. Guys will come by in a night, and they'll cut the filler necks like they did to his van.
Right.
And they'll hit 10 or 15 cars a night.
And, I mean, but these are cars that were presumably the gas tank is empty, though, right, if it's a wrecking yard?
No, they're cars we get them from an insurance buyout place, and they're sitting there waiting to be torn apart. They got half tank, three-quarter tank, whatever they had when they got crashed into.
So it's like that guy that goes and scrapes up a bunch of butts out of the gutter and is able to make, like, one whole cigarette out of it.
You got it. He just comes, they come by. They got to be professionals or something. I mean, you got to be pretty trained because you can't just stick a hose down the filler neck on a new car anymore.
Really?
Yeah, they got bends and they have little gates inside the filler neck.
That's what I was talking about. It seems like they ought to be planning. So maybe, I wasn't measuring the amount of gas. Like, I didn't take a good look at the gauge before and after. So maybe they were attempting to siphon from me, but maybe they were foiled. Because if I got a 2004 Ford, it seems like maybe it's new enough that they're not able to do it. So maybe they tried but were thwarted.
Yeah, I've got an O2 Focus, and it's the same thing. People have tried to siphon my gas, and then they go to my old pickup, and then they just drain it.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they couldn't siphon my gas, so they just stole my truck. That would actually explain. They're like, yeah, well, screw that guy. We'll just steal the whole vehicle. Bastards.
That's what it is, man.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, there you go. It is not a world of men. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, Jessica Simpson has been quoted by Time Magazine saying...
This, okay.
Quote...
Hold on. Let's stop here. This is a
This is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
We'll do the story in like 5 seconds. This is not a guarantee, but I do want to preface this. We were talking about this at the very beginning of the show, and I honestly did mean to get to this earlier. I didn't mean to mention this and then wait 2 hours to get to it. But Sarah and I, as the program started today, we're talking about this quote. There are certain things. Now, do we know why they broke up? And I realize that I shouldn't care.
It's rumored about her infidelity.
With Dane Cook.
Among other people.
Dane Cook's a good-looking man.
Which, that's the only rumor that I've ever heard repeated over and over and over again.
About her and Dane Cook?
It's not specifically
her. Oh, just her and somebody.
Yeah, her and somebody being unfaithful.
I don't know, man.
Well, because it was Johnny Knoxville.
Really?
A long time ago. It was rumored that they were doing their thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange. I don't really know why this is, that the whole country, and don't get me wrong, I'm with them, but the whole country, as we've talked about, in every one of these celebrity breakups, the country arbitrarily, but unanimously, picks someone to support. Everybody got behind Jennifer Aniston. Everybody got behind Nick Lachey, in this case. Everybody got behind, well, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people got behind Liz Hurley when she broke up with Hugh Grant, because it was the hooker and the so forth. But yeah, this one, everybody is behind Nick Lachey, and everybody has turned on Jessica Simpson for reasons that I really can't explain. I really don't know what it is. She just puts off some sort of bitchy vibe that everybody sort of dislikes. Didn't you say that Nick Lachey said that thing about her dad? Joe Simpson?
How if he was trapped on an island and he had to pick whether or not to be stuck there with Joe Simpson or Satan.
He picked Satan. Excellent. So there are just certain things that you don't say after a breakup. And when you told me this Jessica Simpson quote this morning, I thought it was sort of a rumored, like a sort of a Page Six, like overheard Eddie Lane's kind of a thing. Or like they'll do that thing in Page Six in the New York Post sometimes where they won't identify who it is. But it'll be like, what busty bombshell was heard saying this about her ex? And then it'll be like a blind quote where they quote the person and they imply that it's Jessica Simpson, but they won't flat out say it. This is actually on the record now, right? This is with the Times of London?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so Tim, now keep in mind that what we're about to read you is an actual, Dan, this is an actual quote from a newspaper. This is Jessica Simpson speaking from a magazine, speaking on the record about Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey didn't pack too well, if you know what I mean,
yeah.
But I got over it. Now, by just looking at Nick Lachey, I could easily tell he doesn't pack much under the belt. He has good looks, good body, he is rich, and he can sing. These traits can only lead him to have a small penis.
Now, is this still a quote?
I think some of it's commentary.
Seriously, because that sounds a little mannered for her. It doesn't really sound like she'd be putting... That syntax does not sound like the syntax of a dumb blonde girl.
Okay. I'm looking here.
This is... it sounds like a lot of that is sort of a paraphrase.
Okay, these are paraphrases.
All right.
So, paraphrasing continues. These traits can only lead him to have a small penis. It would not be fair if he had all those traits and then some. You get where I'm going with this? Wait, there's more. This is according to the article. On August 1st, 2006, Jessica Simpson was once again quoted saying more trash about her ex-husband. She was quoted saying, quote, Nick's small package was a problem sometimes. Like the first time we had sex, to tell you the truth, I didn't feel it much. I faked the whole thing. I really felt sorry for him. I still loved him, though. Unquote. Truly, this is sad.
All right,
I really hope Nick can bring himself back for all these rumors. They keep coming, but not to worry.
Which they don't. Clearly, that is the furthest thing from the truth. There are no repeated rumors about Nick Lachey. There is just Jessica Simpson trying to start rumors. You can tell sometimes, can't you, when there are rumors and when someone is wanting you to believe that there are rumors.
It's really none of our business. Like, I don't care if Nick Lachey is well endowed or not.
It doesn't matter.
And that's just me.
No, he's like rich and famous and good looking and he's successful. It doesn't matter. I mean, the guy could have nothing. And it wouldn't even make any difference. Clearly, it didn't make any difference. He was able to get Jessica Simpson into bed. But you can tell somebody is flailing around under the pressure of suddenly being the ugly sister. That's exactly what this is right here. It's like that Tom and Katie story we had yesterday where they're rescuing the mysterious stranger that can't be identified and the stretch of road that can't be explicated at a date and time that was never able to be specified. This is Jessica Simpson suddenly not used to the fact that she's being left behind by the fact that her husband is more popular and more successful than she is, and her sister is suddenly hot and Jessica Simpson looks like she has a jaw that's chiseled out of wood. So it's all going badly for her, and this is her response. So, well done, Jessica.
It's
all
okay.
Right. Let's do one more, and then we'll break. We'll come back. David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane, top five, and sales. I cannot believe that you said that. Scotty J is typing something on the screen about the relative. Oh, yeah, now you delete it. Type it. Put it back on the screen. I won't read it, but I'm going to have Sarah and Tim read it. Type that back on the screen. He is. It's something referring to the relative. The relative sizes of sections of.
I see.
Of their anatomy. Look at what he. Look at.
Oh my God!
Can you believe that he's typed that on the screen? It's something about
Yeah, we don't need to describe that.
No, it's something, you know. It's like when you. It's like sometimes when you see people in a car commercial, and they'll get inside and say, why, from the outside, it doesn't seem this roomy. I could put a whole case of luggage in here. This trunk is amazingly roomy. I didn't realize that in the back of this car, I could fit so much. It looks so small from the outside.
Okay, we get it.
Yet when you open the trunk of the car, it's huge and expansive. Seems to go on forever in certain directions.
So sometimes it's not the size of the person, it's the size of the car.
It's not the size of your suitcase, it's the size of the trunk. Hello. All right.
Is this a commercial for a car lot?
I don't know. Let's break now. That sounds like a good idea.
Yes.
You know that a couple is currently playing a song that contains the phrase, everybody's got a little junk in the trunk? It's true. All right. It's 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson radio program, and you've never heard anything quite like it in your life. Stay there. Back after this. It's okay. You may look the other way, but we can try to understand the New York kind of better man.